If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. We continue in our series, Armor On, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. And for the context, I'll read verses 13 through 16. Paul writes, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." And let's pray. Lord, as we go through this armor of God, I pray you just teach us, Lord, how every piece is critical. And I pray you just show us this morning how important it is that we have that shield of faith, that simple faith in you to shield us from all the attacks of the world and the devil and the storms. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last February the 3rd in Pensacola, Florida, a SWAT team was serving a high-risk search warrant at the home of a drug dealer named Corey Marino on 7th Avenue. But right when they busted through the front door, that suspect shot at one of those cops right at the head with a .44 Magnum from less than 3 feet away. But guess what? No injuries whatsoever. And why? Because those SWAT officers were not only wearing body armor, they were also carrying Kevlar shields. And that shield took the full force of that bullet, so that bullet never even hit that cop at all. And Corey Marino was arrested and also charged with attempted murder of a police officer. Besides the body armor he was wearing, that cop was also carrying a shield that ended up saving his life. And Christians, listen to me. Besides all the armor of God that we're wearing, we also have a shield that can save our lives too. And not only physically, but also spiritually. The text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Armor On. Look at how we can put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and start fighting and winning that war that the devil's declared on us. And today we look at the fourth piece of armor we need to put on, and that's the shield of faith. And to see that, we turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. At this point in Ephesians chapter 6, God's got us all armored up from our neck all the way down to our toes. And our text today tells us, besides all of that, we also have a force field around us, the shield of faith. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we need to use that shield to not only keep the devil from destroying us, but so we can use that shield to destroy him. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, tells us three reasons why we need to use that shield to fight off the attacks of the devil. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why we need to use that shield is to connect us to God. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 16. Now, the shields that Roman soldiers used back in Paul's day weren't those wimpy little things like Wonder Woman uses. They're called scutum, which means door, because they were as big as a door. Over 5.5 feet long, 2.5 feet wide, made out of 3/4 inch oak wood, and covered with leather and metal. And they were the most important piece of armor of all, because even though the breastplate covered the vitals and the important things, the shield covered the whole person. And Christians, exactly the same thing was true with us when it comes to faith. Because without that faith, we would never be covered up. We would never be armored up at all. Now, contrary to popular opinion, faith is not just a right-wing conspiracy theory cooked up by mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging MAGA people. Because faith is how we connect with God. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, "Well, Kevin, I don't even know that there is a God." Yes, you do. Because Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, deep down inside, everybody knows there's a God. You say, "Well, Kevin, why doesn't he show himself?" He does. In nature. Because his divine nature and his power are clearly understood and seen by what he has made. So regardless of what evolution says, there is a God, because something, people, did not just come from nothing. So let me ask you this morning, is it harder to believe that a God created everything out of nothing, or is it harder to believe that nothing just magically turned into everything? It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. You say, "Well, Kevin, if there is a God, why can't we see Him?" Because God is spirit. And because the entire universe cannot contain him. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6. And because if we could see him, his glory would literally burn us to crispy, crunchy, crispy critters. So thank God he is merciful enough. He doesn't let us see him. You say, well, Kevin, why didn't he come to us in a form that we can understand? He did 2,000 years ago, and we nailed him to a cross. And the Bible says, if you believe, and if you put your faith in the fact that Jesus Christ died on that cross to pay the price for your sin, God credits your faith as righteousness. You are forgiven, you are saved, and you are put in a right relationship with the Lord just exactly like you're supposed to be. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. It is by grace that you are saved through faith. Do we understand how faith connects us to God? Last June, at an auction in Los Angeles, California, some big Marvel fan shelled out $259,539 for the shield that Captain America supposedly used to save us all in the Avengers movie. But so what? Because a shield that really saves us all from the devil, Jesus is passing those out for free to anybody who trusts Him as Savior and Lord. Faith. And why do we need that faith? Because you and I live in a fallen world where all kinds of bad things just happen to people. The slogan for the Ace Insurance Company says this: we take the risk out of life so you can do anything. And people, it's a joke, because nobody can take the risk out of this life. Jesus said, John chapter 16, verse 33, in this life you will have difficulty. Over 7,000 Americans die every single year because they get the wrong prescription drug from a doctor. 450 Americans die every year just falling out of bed. 150 people die every year from coconuts falling on their head. You don't think we need that shield of faith? We need that shield of faith against the attacks. Because right now, the richest, most educated, most techno-savvy people in the history of the whole wide world here in the United States of America are tossing their cookies. Last March the 29th, a 66-year-old man named Wayne Dean from New York City hung himself and committed suicide at New York Presbyterian Hospital after he tested positive for COVID there. Folks, 99.8% of everybody who gets COVID recovers from it. No problem at all. What was he worried about? 107,000 Americans last year died from overdose. Fentanyl is now the number one killer of 18 to 34-year-olds in this country. Number one killer. Suicide rate through the roof. And because of the pandemic and the lockdown, Generation Z has lost its mind. Youngest generation in America, 53% say their mental health is their biggest challenge. 1 out of 4 say they are very lonely. 75% suffer from extreme anxiety. Almost half are extremely depressed. Over 25% of girls, Generation Z, have suicidal thoughts. I could go on and on. And yet last February, the pagan students at Huntington High School, Huntington, West Virginia, sued the school for allowing Fellowship of Christian Athletes to hold a voluntary assembly and share the gospel. Folks, Generation Z going to hell in a handbasket. Do you honestly think the problem is they've got too much God and too much gospel? Are you kidding me? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, what is it that overcomes the world? What is it that overcomes the attack? Faith. It's that shield of faith. And people, listen to me, absolutely nothing else. Nothing. Nothing else shields us from the attacks. Fame doesn't do it. Olivia Newton-John played Sandy in that famous musical Grease. Last year, her breast cancer came back after 25 years and finally killed her last August the 8th at the age of 73. Popularity doesn't shield you from the attack. Last April the 3rd, one of the hottest models on Instagram, Courtney Clinic, stabbed and murdered her boyfriend at their condo in Miami, Florida. Last April the 2nd, Edward Daniels of Derbyshire, England, bought a Ferrari 488 for $679,000 and crashed it less than 2 miles away from the dealership on his way home. All your fancy stuff in the whole wide world doesn't shield you from the attack. The only thing that can is that shield of faith in Jesus Christ, just like it shielded her. Brenda Epperson is a born-again Christian actress who's done all kinds of TV shows and soap operas like The Young and the Restless. Back in 2018, God led her and her husband and their three daughters by a horse ranch in the Santa Monica Mountains outside of Los Angeles. Absolutely gorgeous property. But from day one, the Spirit of God told her to pray over that property by walking all around the property every single morning and every single night and claiming those promises from Psalm 91. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. His faithfulness is my shield, and the disaster will not come nigh me. So she did that every morning and every night. She even put up wooden crosses on the fence line around the border of the property. And all of her friends and neighbors thought she was absolutely nuts. She didn't care. She was praying the promises of God. Family woke up one morning, May of 2021, to see big plumes of smoke from the huge Palisades fire. And all the hills and mountains surrounding the Epperson Ranch were going up in flames. And they started getting calls from all the neighbors. Would Brenda and her husband come and take the horses from the places that were already on fire and take them back to the Epperson Ranch to save them? So for hours and hours, Brenda and her husband went back and forth and brought 77 horses to their ranch, praying all the while the fire wouldn't take their territory or kill their animals either. But then the wind really picked up, and the fire started moving even faster and faster. And it was bearing right down on that Epperson Ranch. But Brenda and her husband decided they weren't going to operate out of fear. They were going to operate out of faith. So they just kept praying over and over again, "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. His faithfulness is my shield, and that disaster will not come nigh me," over and over again. But then it got so bad, the cops showed up and told them they needed to evacuate. And that fire got right close to their property line. They tried fighting it with garden hoses. But the heat got so bad, they realized they needed to get out of there. So they jumped in the truck and drove through what looked like the gates of hell on the way out of there, praying all the way to Burbank to stay at a friend's house there. They got to the friend's house. They turned on the TV. There was an overhead shot of that fire right on top of their ranch. So they turned the TV off, and they just kept praying, "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. His faithfulness is my shield. And the disaster will not come nigh me," hour after hour, that entire night. 3 days later, when the fire had passed and the authorities let everybody go back home, while Brenda Epperson and her husband were on their way home, and the whole area looked like a huge brush pile. Charred black, thousands and thousands and thousands of acres, and as barren as the dark side of the moon. And all the while they were traveling there, the devil kept telling them, "You've lost everything that you owned and loved." But when they pulled up to their property, they absolutely could not believe what they saw. Video.
After a couple days, Brenda and her husband decided to venture home. They passed through a police point and went on to their neighborhood.
It was apocalyptic. There was just smoke everywhere. There was spot fires everywhere. You couldn't breathe. It was dark.
Then through the devastation, hope appeared.
And I fell on my knees because the fire had come to our door. And then I looked and I saw how it burned the entire mountain all the way down to our fence and stopped. And I just sobbed and sobbed. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to use this property for you. I can give it even more."
That fire burned absolutely everything to a crisp and turned it all into charcoal briquettes all the way down that mountain. But amazingly, miraculously, it stopped at their property line, all around their property, right where Brenda Epperson had placed those wooden crosses, right where she walked every single morning and every single night, praying those promises of God for 3 solid years. Not 1 cubic millimeter of their property had been burned. Not one building had been damaged. And every single one of those horses was safe and sound. "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. His faithfulness is my shield. And the disaster will not come nigh me." People, listen to me. I don't care what kind of fire you got burning in your life right now. I don't care how bad that fire looks. I don't care how fast it's moving. I don't care how hopeless the situation may be. With God, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. You put your trust in the Lord. You take up that shield of faith. That faith will connect you with the power of God. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God through prayer cannot do. The first reason why we need to use that shield is because it connects us with God. We go on in this text. We see a second thing. A second reason why we need to use that shield of faith. Not only because it connects us, but also because it protects us. It protects us from the devil. Because faith is not just something you're supposed to believe. Faith is something that you're supposed to live. It's not just something you're supposed to have. It's also something you're supposed to use to protect you from the devil. All kinds of police officers at Robb Elementary School, Uvalde, Texas, last May the 24th, had all kinds of shields to protect themselves and to take on the shooter. The problem is they never used them. So Christians, let me ask you, are we using those shields of faith to protect ourselves and take on the devil who's shooting at us? Because listen to me, you don't take up that shield of faith and you don't keep it up 24/7, 365. The devil's going to get one past you and he's going to screw you up every which way but loose, six ways from Sunday. Because what's the favorite weapon that the devil uses against you? Verse 16, flaming arrows. Back in Bible times, the enemies would dip the tips of those arrows in tar and set them on fire. And this is what the battle scene would look like.
Incendiary arrows have proven especially effective in sieges of cities or fortresses.
Flaming arrows flying around would freak you out. And then the arrows would hit your shield and they would catch your shield on fire. And your first thought would be what? Throw that shield to the ground, which makes you a sitting duck for a spear or another arrow. That's why before every battle, the Roman soldiers would soak their shields in water so the shields would put the fire out. What does our shield of faith do? Verse 16, extinguishes every flaming arrow of the evil one. Christians, it's your faith that puts the fire out. You got your shields up? So let me ask you this morning, what are those flaming arrows that the devil is shooting at you right now? And here's my guy over here, and he's going to come up, and he's going to demonstrate how this shield blocks all the arrows of the devil. Maybe the flaming arrow the devil is chucking at you right now is fear. You're never going to pass biology. You're never going to be able to have a baby. Your wife is never going to stay married to you. Olivia Newton-John's cancer came back after 25 years. Your cancer is going to come back too. Your dad died at 42. You're going to die that age too. You're never going to get healed. You know why these flocking out and taking away all the arrows and extinguishing them? Because Psalm 33, verse 20, my soul waits for the Lord because He is my help and shield. And I know somebody's hearing this today. You say, well, Kevin, I don't see my healing yet. Of course not, because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we Christians walk by faith, not by sight. So your faith has to go beyond the five senses, into the spiritual, and into the invisible. It's there, you just can't see it yet. So faith is believing that it is so, even when it isn't so, in order that it might become so, just because God said so. It's your faith that gets it out of the spiritual and the invisible and brings it into the physical and the natural. Maybe that flaming arrow the devil is shooting at you is temptation. Come on, there's nothing wrong with porn. Everybody does it. And nobody's ever going to know. And it's just a beer. It's not hard stuff. And you deserve a break because you've been doing so good lately. And don't worry about your boyfriend getting you pregnant. He loves you too much to do that. He knows what he's doing. Notice, all those arrows bouncing off the shield. You know why? Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. The Lord is my sun and my shield, and no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Maybe it's lies that the devil is telling you. What a freak. Nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. You'd be better off dead. The world would be a better place without you. Notice, the shield takes away all the arrows, extinguishes all the arrows of the evil one. And why? Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. The Lord is a shield about me and my glory and the lifter of my head. Your mom's an idiot. You don't have to pay attention to what your parents tell you. Last July the 23rd, 14-year-old Brooke McLaughlin, Blackberry, Maine, was found dead by her mom in her bedroom after a 15-year-old boy had murdered her, a boy that she was texting and hooking up with behind her mom's back, without mom even knowing about it. Young people, listen to me. You step out from behind that shield of faith. You step out from under that shield of parental authority in your life. The devil is going to have you for cannon fodder and chew you up and spit you out. Where do you think dead teenagers come from? Here's a big one. Your kids are going to die. Yesterday, 3 years ago, little Jamarius Harbor Jr., Decatur, Georgia, was prematurely delivered at 21 weeks along. Didn't even weigh a pound, folks. 13 ounces at birth. And when he was born, he wasn't even breathing. And doctors don't even normally try to resuscitate babies born younger than 25 weeks because they're not developed enough to live anyway. But little Jamarius' parents, Jamarius Sr. and Jessica, begged and begged the doctor to try to resuscitate him anyway. Because they believed with all their heart, if God could make that kid born, God could also make him live. They held on to that shield of faith, so that doctor gave it a try. And what was the result? The picture you see on the screen is Jamarius Harbor Jr. yesterday on his third birthday. Bigger in life, healthy as a horse. The youngest preemie to ever survive in recorded medical history. And do you know why that happened? Because when the devil told those parents that kid was going to die, that shield of faith blocked that arrow out. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. The Lord is a refuge and a shield to all who come to Him. Okay, thanks. Maybe it's doubt the devil is firing at you. Doubt and depression. Last March the 29th, near Elgin, Texas, 16-year-old Riley Leone was in his truck on his way home praying against all the doubt and all the depression because his dad was sick and couldn't work. The family was in debt to their eyeballs. He'd just gotten turned down from a job at a Whataburger. And the truck he was driving was on its last legs. It was a pile of junk by the way he treated it. No money to replace it. But then all of a sudden an F4 tornado that had already picked up and tossed around dozens and dozens of cars and trucks like Tinker Toys, a tornado that had already killed people, swept across the interstate and picked up Riley and his truck, and a driver on the other side of the road took this video.
You've likely seen this weather video by now. A red truck got swept up in a tornado in Elgin earlier this week. We now know who the driver is. It's 16-year-old Riley Leone. He was returning home from an interview at a Whataburger when that wild ride happened. He miraculously survived.
Do you notice on the video? The very last second, the tornado flipped that truck back on its tires so Riley could keep driving and get out of there and make it home. But guess what? When that video went viral, Whataburger called him and offered him another job. And a Chevy dealer in Fort Worth gave his family a check for $15,000 and gave Riley a brand new 2022 Chevy Silverado. He got the money, he got the job, he got the truck, everything he was praying for. But notice, those blessings didn't come until after he went through the tornado first. So let me ask you, does God know what He's doing or what when He puts us through the storm for a specific reason? So Christians, let me ask you, are we going to have that shield of faith up? Are we going to hang on to that faith when we're going through the storm, believing that God some way, somehow is going to use it for something good? No matter how scary that storm may be. Back in 2002, even though Sue and I didn't know it, a demonic head case named Stephen Aubrey from Aurora bought property and built a house for him and his wife south of where Sue and I live in the parsonage on Highway 71. In August of 2004, he strangled his wife to death in that apartment in Aurora and then brought her body down to this property and buried it in the backyard behind the house. Then August 27th of that year, when police were searching his apartment in Aurora, he took off on a motorcycle down here to this property. But this time, LaSalle County Sheriff's Department was waiting for him. So he ditched his motorcycle, ran west through a cornfield, and came out, guess where? Me and Sue's house. Folks, I ever get to retire, I really am going to write a book. Something Wicked This Way Comes. Now, that day, Sue was working on window blinds right in the big picture window in the front of the house. And I had gone to Ottawa to visit some church members at Pleasant View, but turned around and came back home because I realized it was too late in the day for a visit. And thank God I did, because I wasn't home 5 minutes. All of a sudden, here comes this guy running out of the cornfield from behind our house. We saw him through the window, looked in my car to see if the keys were there. So I walked outside and he said, give me your car. I said, well, I'm not going to give you my car. And he pulled a handgun, a semi-automatic. And I know he saw Sue because he says, I don't want to hurt you, and I don't want to have to kill her either. And at that moment, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, give him whatever he wants. Everything is going to be taken care of. So without taking my eyes on him, I just backed up. I stuck my hand through the screen door and I said, Sue, give me my keys. Turned the keys over. When Sue saw that guy driving away with my car, she said, Kevin, why did you give that guy your car? Because he had a gun, Sue. And all kinds of people have asked me, well, Kevin, you didn't witness to him. Folks, he just murdered his wife and he was running from the police. So I am so sure what he wanted to hear is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You say, well, Kevin, why didn't you go all Ninja Turtle on him and knock him down? Did you miss the part about the gun? And Stephen Aubrey was a lot bigger than I was. And he was a bodybuilder. He was into all kinds of martial arts. And he was juiced up on steroids. And he had just killed his wife. And listen to me, if he didn't have any qualms about killing his own wife, do you honestly think he'd have had any qualms about killing us? If he'd have had to? If we'd have given him any trouble? Sometimes you just need to obey God and stand there with your shield of faith, trusting that even if you can't fix the situation, God can. Well, the nanosecond he took off with my car, I called the South County Sheriff's Department. I said, I just got carjacked in my driveway on Highway 71. They said, yeah, we know who that is. I thought, well, it would have been nice if you'd have told me before he came. And instantly, all the cops that were chasing Stephen Aubrey were at our house. They got all the information, and they took off. And then Sue and I started thinking, this guy's got our car. He's got my billfold. He's got my car keys with the house key on it. He knows where we live. So I called the South County Sheriff's Department again, and I said, what if Stephen Aubrey comes back to my house? And the guy had a long pause, and he said, well, do you have a shotgun? I thought, gee, thanks for the help. But right then, God spoke to me again, and he said, don't worry. I am your shield. Everything is going to be taken care of. And because the media was pestering us so bad, we went and stayed that night with a couple in Morris. Well, come to find out, all Stephen Aubrey did with my car was drive it around Aurora for several hours, ended up parking it at a tree nursery. And then when the police spotted him, he jumped out of that car, ran into a field, and basically committed suicide by cop. Well, 2 days later, we got a call that I could go and pick up my car from the basement of the Aurora City Police Station. And the investigator told us if Stephen Aubrey had used that car in the commission of a crime, if he had shot somebody from sitting in that car, I'd have never gotten it back. So Sue and I drove up there. There was my green Buick Regal in the basement of that building, surrounded by crime tape. You know why? They were checking it for booby traps. Because the investigator told us Stephen Aubrey was a real Jekyll and Hyde. And his apartment not only contained all kinds of weapons, it also contained explosives. And that investigator looked at us and he said, you're lucky he didn't kill you too. No, not lucky, shielded and protected. Because Sue and I were not hurt at all. Stephen Aubrey never came back to our house. God made sure he never hurt anybody else. And I even got my car back to boot. Everything was okay. Everything was taken care of just exactly like God said. And not only that, Stephen Aubrey left us a note. I always have pens and papers in my car. He left us a note on the front seat that said this, sorry about your car, seem like nice people. And why would you get an apology from a demonic killer? Well, because ever since 1988, every car I have ever owned, I've had this hanging from the rearview mirror, a cross. So all the while Stephen Aubrey was driving my car, here's this cross swinging in front of his face. You know what? Every single thing was taken care of, just exactly like God said. People, is God as good as His Word or what? You have no idea, no idea when the devil is going to come to your front door. People, listen to me. I don't care what attack you're going through right now. I don't care what the devil is doing to you. I don't care how scary it is. I don't care how long it's been going on. I don't care what he's trying to do. I don't care how much he's stolen from you. You trust in the Lord, you take that shield of faith, you do whatever in the world the Lord is telling you to do, and everything is going to be taken care of. Because Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29, the Lord is your shield and your help, and your enemies will be conquered before you. The second reason why we need to use that shield of faith is to protect us from the devil. We go on in this text, we see a third thing, a third reason why we need to use that shield. not only because it connects us, not only because it protects us, but third, because it corrects us. It corrects our attitude. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 16. We need to correct our attitudes because too many of us Christians are constantly walking around looking sadder than Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh. Yes, America and the world is going to hell in a basket with two handles. But Christians, don't you dare let the devil start making you doubt what God has shown you in the light. He can call things that are not as though they were. He can do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we ask or imagine. With God, all things are possible. Oh, we of little faith. So we need an attitude correction. A major checkup from the neck up. So instead of doubting God and believing the devil, how about we start believing God and doubting the devil instead? So Christians, suck it up, grab your shield and go to war. Because in order to win it, you've got to get in it. Correct our attitudes. And listen to me. We better be correcting our attitudes because the days are dark, folks. And I hate to tell you this, they're just going to get darker. Last week, the CDC changed all their major guidelines when it comes to dealing with COVID. And my question is, why? I thought they told us that COVID was deadlier than airborne Ebola. I thought the science was settled. I thought they were just following the science. Funny thing is, every time I follow the science, it leads straight to the money in Dr. Fauci's bank account. And what really fries your bacon, these should have been the guidelines from the very beginning. Because we knew all this stuff 2 years ago already. We knew that simple exposure to COVID does not mean that a person's infected. We knew there was never any reason to test people that didn't have any symptoms. And you know why they're treating unvaccinated people now just like vaccinated people? Because studies are coming in from all over the world that the vaccine didn't do diddly squat against COVID. Dr. Marty McCarron, PhD from Johns Hopkins University, said this: studies show the vaccine overwhelmingly failed to stop people from getting COVID or from passing it on to other people. So all the vaccines really did was cause the COVID virus to mutate faster and turn vaccinated people into carriers and super spreaders of the virus. Because all studies show the people who got the most COVID cases and the worst COVID cases and the people who spread COVID the most were people who were vaccinated. Dr. Deborah Birx, Dr. Fauci's partner in crime under President Trump, said this: we knew all along that the vaccine really didn't protect people from COVID. Are you kidding me? Why didn't she say that when millions and millions of Americans were getting canned and losing their jobs because they wouldn't get the jab? Do you remember how bad that time was? Friends and family members treating us like lepers and calling us selfish and crazy because we weren't vaccinated. Having all of our First Amendment freedom of speech rights taken away, being canceled on Facebook for supposedly committing COVID misinformation, people leaving this church because I said exactly the same things that the CDC is saying today, young people having their education stolen away from them, all the suicides, the family events that were missed forever, all the livelihoods destroyed, it was all based on a lie, people, and they knew it all along. It's one of the reasons there's a hell. Over the last 5 years, anti-American demonic George Soros funded the election campaigns of all kinds of radical woke district attorneys in the 25 biggest cities and counties in the United States, representing over 40% of the population of this country. And because those radical woke DAs are letting criminals skate in the name of social justice, crime is through the roof, and America's like a war zone today. And this coming January the 1st, J.B. Pritzker's Safety Act goes into effect that eliminates all cash bail, which means after people are arrested for murder and rape and arson, they're free to walk so they can go terrorize even more people before their trials start. People, this is insanity. Now, if J.B. Pritzker loses his reelection bid in November, no Safety Act. But I hate to tell you this. Polls are showing right now J.B. Pritzker has over 50% popularity rating in Illinois. Correct our attitudes, folks, because even as bad as it is, the light still breaks through. Last May the 10th, Bradenton, Florida, A 38-year-old construction worker named Tavares Brinson was driving home late at night from work when all of a sudden this super bright light just broke open the sky. And it stunned him so much, he took a video of it.
Wow, that's beautiful.
People, what in the world was that? This is what he said. It was dark, and then this huge hole just opened up in the sky. And I believe in God and Jesus Christ, and I thought it was Jesus coming back, like the gates of heaven opening up. People say it was a rocket launch, but I've seen rocket launches before at night in Florida, and this was totally different. This was like biblical. Christians, listen to me. Regardless of what that was, it's a reminder. Serve the Lord. Share the gospel, love your spouse, raise your kids, fight for freedom in this country, but never, ever, ever forget, we really don't belong here in the dark. We belong up there in the light. Amen. Because our citizenship is in heaven. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going home to heaven some sweet day. And how do we know that? Last Christmas Day, NASA launched the brand new James Webb Telescope. And it was supposed to send back all kinds of evidence that bolstered this age-old astronomical idea that the universe just evolved from the Big Bang. That about 13.5 billion years ago, particles of matter started clumping together and igniting to form stars. And then about 13 billion years ago, stars started forming galaxies. The oldest galaxies would be the furthest away and very hard to find, and they'd be very crude and simple and shaped like lumps of Play-Doh, and they'd only have a few simple chemical elements like hydrogen. And the universe is 13.5 billion years old because the furthest galaxies are 13.5 billion light years away. So there is no God. The Bible is not true. Blah, blah, blah. The same old palaver that astronomers have been spouting for a coon's age. But what do you know? Astronomers were absolutely stunned when the James Webb Telescope started sending back pictures that prove all those established astronomical theories are nothing but horse hockey. Because what those pictures are showing, there's galaxies that are even further than 13.5 billion, 14, 16 billion light years away. And all the supposedly oldest galaxies were not furthest away, and they weren't hard to find because they're everywhere, all over the place out there. Even places where on the chart they shouldn't be. And the supposedly oldest galaxies aren't just shaped like lumps of Play-Doh. They're all kinds of complicated designs. From disks to curlicues and everything in between. And those supposedly oldest galaxies have every kind of chemical element you can imagine. So everything that astronomers have assumed for the last 200 years about the age of the universe and how the universe supposedly evolved from the Big Bang and ages and distance has all been thrown out the window. Allison Kirkpatrick, astronomer at University of Kansas, said this, "Right now I find myself waking up at 3 in the morning wondering if everything I've ever done in astronomy is wrong." Yes, it is. Because the James Webb Telescope does not prove that the universe evolved from the Big Bang. What it proves is that an all-knowing, all-powerful God created instantly out of nothing, with it all arranged and everything put in place exactly like we see it today. You say, but Kevin, scientifically, what about the 14, 16 billion light years away, the years, and the Bible doesn't say it's billions of years. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 says, "In the beginning, God created all the stars and all the galaxies with the light already visible on earth so human beings could use them for signs and for seasons." So distance is not an indication of age. It only indicates location. When I'm in Ottawa at Aldi's, I am 14 miles away from Sue. It does not mean that I'm 14 years older than Sue. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, one day Jesus is coming. And He's going to destroy this old heaven and earth, and He's going to create a new heaven and earth, and He's going to take us home. And folks, do we realize how close, how really close we really are? Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17 says, "In the last days, during the great tribulation, the Antichrist will force everybody in the whole wide world to get the mark of the beast, in, not on, original Greek, in their right hand and their forehead. And the Antichrist will use that mark to control all their buying and their selling." So what that's prophesying is a cashless, one-world economy with some kind of a tracking system that the Antichrist can use for that mark to control everybody's finances and thus every single aspect of their lives and make them slaves through that mark. And guess what? Now we know exactly what that mark and that one world system is all about. Because for decades, the New World Order people have been dying to inject people like you and me with microchips and digital IDs that gather all kinds of information about us and send it to Big Brother on the internet. For years and years, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, has been pushing something called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the Internet of Bodies, putting the Internet in your body, digital IDs inserted in your body with all kinds of personal information on it, medical information, financial information, so they can use that information to control you. Back in 2016 already, Bill Gates started that company, ID 2020, with the goal of injecting all 8 billion people on Earth with a digital ID along with a vaccine. And the WHO, the CDC, the United Nations, UN Agenda 2030 are all pushing it too. And folks, I am not making this up. This is not conspiracy theory. It's all right there, right out in the open on those organizations' websites. See, 1992, they put you in front of a computer. Then with Apple Watches and Google Glasses, they put the computer on you. The next step is to put the computer in you. All they needed was a reason to roll out a massive government-sponsored vaccination program. So what do you know? November 2019, here's COVID, invented by Dr. Anthony Fauci and the NIH and the Wuhan lab in China, released on the world. And because there was a virus, they needed a vaccine. But the vaccine doesn't work. And you know why it doesn't work? Because the vaccine was never about protecting people. It was all about conditioning people. The vaccine was a trial balloon to see how many people would line up and take a government vaccine just because the government said so. And I need to tell you this for the 10,000th time. There are people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You got vaccinated, but you did it in good faith. You did it because you thought you had to. You did it because of circumstances. You did it because you were forced to, because your doctor told you you needed to have it. And I'll tell you again, you did not do anything wrong. The evil people with the evil purposes behind the vaccine, that's what's wrong. And over 5 billion of the 8 billion people on planet Earth got that jab. And the debate has always been, was the vaccine invented for the virus, or was the virus invented for the vaccine? Well, Yuval Harari, World Economic Forum, says this. The COVID pandemic was being used by the globalist elites to scare people and to convince people to eventually accept digital IDs and total worldwide biometric surveillance. The pandemic was our opportunity to turn everything digital so we could be the immortal masters of the world. And how do we know that's true? Because there's all kinds of places in America and all over the world. There are more people dying from COVID this year than last year. And I could spend the next 2 days giving you all the statistics, but you know what? In spite of that fact, there's no mitigation right now. There's no masks, there's no social distancing, and you know why? Because the New World Order has moved on to the next phase, digital IDs. And controlling every single aspect of your life with that digital ID and making you a slave, the mark of the beast. You say, well, Kevin, how could a digital ID control my entire life with digital currency? Over 100 countries in the world right now are converting all their money to digital, which means cashless society all over the planet. Last March the 9th, Joe Biden called for the conversion of U.S. dollars to digital dollars and signed Executive Order 14067 that will start eliminating cash in America starting in December. And get this, 3 weeks before that, the FDIC and DOJ formed the Digital Currency Task Force to take out anybody who bucks the system. You don't think this is already a done deal? And once it's installed, digital IDs with digital currency, it's game over. And you become a slave because Big Brother will control every single financial transaction that you make and determine what you can do and where you can go and how much you can spend and what you can spend it on, all based on your answers to questions like, do you own a firearm? Do you drive a gas-powered vehicle rather than an electric vehicle? Do you believe Joe Biden is in office illegitimately? Do you vote conservative? Are you a member of a Bible-believing church? Are you opposed to the LGBTQ agenda? Do you homeschool your kids? Do you grow your own food? And you get any number of those questions wrong, one push of a button, all your money is gone, and you're shut out of the system altogether until you get your mind right and start worshiping the beast. And I know there's people listening to this sermon right now. You say, Kevin, something like that is never going to happen. People, it's already happening. China is already using digital IDs to keep their people enslaved. They've been doing it for 3 years. Last week, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau rolled out the digital ID program in Canada. Emmanuel Macron has already got it up and running in France. Italy's been using social credit scores for the last 18 months to control everything their citizens do, where they go and what they can buy. You say, well, Kevin, nobody would ever volunteer to get a digital ID implanted in their bodies. Are you kidding me? Right now, dozens of companies all over the planet are doing the implanting. And people are lining up by the gazillions from sea to shining sea to have it done. Like it's going out of style. And you know why? Because they've been conditioned by the pandemic to do whatever it is the government tells them to do. Human implantable digital IDs are now the fastest growing tech market in the world today. So it won't be any big deal for people to get the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation because it's not any big deal for people to get it now. People, don't tell me we're not this close to God wrapping everything up. But Christians, here's the good news. You don't have to worry about the bad news. Because even though all the technology that the Antichrist is ever going to need to pull off the mark of the beast, even though all that technology is here, the Antichrist isn't here yet. And what does the Bible say happens right before he shows up? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We gone, people. We gone. So let me ask you this morning, are you ready for that to happen? And I'll say this again for the 10,000th time. God does not give us Bible prophecy to scare us. God gives us Bible prophecy to prepare us. Because what is going to happen according to the Bible in the future is going to happen. And God does not want you stuck down here during the Great Tribulation. And He especially does not want you to go to hell. That's why 2,000 years ago, He loved you so much in spite of your sin. He put His own Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to die your death. And to shed His blood, then that blood pays the price for your sin. And the Bible says all you need to do is confess your sins to God and believe that. Believe that Jesus died for you, that He died in your place, and that the blood that came out of Him covers your sin and pays for it in God's mind. If you confess your sin and you put your faith in that, you believe that, you can be saved. Amen. Today you're not a Christian. Get up out of your seat when this service is over and come up to the front of this church. Somebody up here will pray with you. We'll lead you to Christ. You can leave this church today knowing where you're going when that time comes. No worries. Ask the band to come up. But there's other people sitting in this church right now. You're Christians. And I'm saying this to me as much as to anybody else. We're scared. And we're freaked. And we're worried. And we're panicked about our families and our marriages and our jobs and our finances and our kids and our parents and this state and this country and the whole world. Worried so much we can't even fall asleep at night. Then when we do fall asleep, the devil wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning so you can worry even more. And do you know why that's happening, Christians? Because we don't have our shields up. Too much focusing on the darkness, not enough focusing on the light. Too much Fox News, not enough good news. Too much Newsmax and not enough Jesus. There is absolutely nothing on this earth that heaven can't cure. There is nothing, no problem going on in your life right now that Jesus Christ cannot solve or take care of. There's absolutely no flaming arrow He can shoot at you that faith in Jesus Christ can't extinguish. Where is our faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay? How do we get that faith back? The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means if you look back at all the things that Jesus did for you in the past, you can have all the confidence in the world He will do exactly those things for you today, and He will do exactly those same things for you tomorrow. Today, look back at all the problems, all the trials, all the heartaches, the worst times of your life that you had to go through, you will remember that Jesus was there through every single one of them. And He will be there with you in the future too. The worst times in your life, there was Jesus.
Tried to make it my own. Every time I tried to stand, I start to fall. All those lonely roads.
Jesus was always there in the past. Jesus was always there with you. Jesus is here today. There's somebody here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. He brought you to this church specifically for this moment to bring you forward to pray to receive Christ so you can become a Christian, so you can get saved. There was Jesus all the while. At this moment, August 21st, 2022, this is your time. God's speaking to your heart. You come forward. You're here today. You're a Christian. You're a believer. You're struggling with something. That's what this altar is for. We will pray with you. We'll agree together. God will do amazing things. Go in peace.